percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
Oh, thank you for listening. Good to have you along. Wendy's Coffee House, the Blogspot site, is up and running. And if you are interested in some of the past shows, right there on the side, alongside the sideline, are the lists of the most recent shows. And that includes Leslie Lupo, the near-death experience she had where she was trampled by horses and came back with a very, very specific message from her time in that in-between state. Said, remember, every breath is precious. That's a cool interview. Incredible story. It happened 30 years ago when people didn't really have anywhere to go with their stories about near-death experiences. As a matter of fact, her doctor at the time told her to shut up or he'd basically drug her into oblivion because she was annoying people and frightening people and irritating him. So, yeah, among that laundry list, she decided at the time she'd be quiet. Well, she's talking now. And she has a laundry list of people who are highly credentialed backing her up and saying, yeah, this is for real. Duncan Laurie, The Secret Art, Radionics. And when people really catch on to what this is, it is manifesting in the highest form, using your thoughts in focused intent to create a shift, whether it's your health, whether it's your, in some way, shape, or form, your lifestyle, your belief systems, a pattern is established. And if you keep it coherent, you see manifest results. So those are a couple in the archives most recently. Dreams that can shift and save your life. The book talks about early warning signs of cancer and other diseases and how people dreamed the event in some way, shape, or form, and then followed through by connecting with a doctor, connecting with a health professional, doing some activity, and making it change. Larry Burke and Kathleen O'Keefe Canavos are the co-authors, and Kathleen is my guest. Kath, do you go by Kat or Kathleen?
I just have everybody introduce me as Kathleen, and then I just switch and go to Kat.
Well, that way they can find the book. It's that Google thing, okay? So Google will pick up the Kathleen, and there's a lot of other ways to pick it up too. But this is a wonderful collaboration, and I want to start with your story because the two of you got together because of your own experience and what brought you on to this story, because this is one of those things where people sometimes discount their own knowing, and you hook, line, and sinker said, this is real, I got this.
Well, it's a little bit about what you were talking about with your previous interview with the woman who was trampled by the horses. There are so many of us out there who have dreams that are doorways to divine intervention and divine information. So I was going for my yearly mammograms and my yearly blood tests and my, you know, that yearly checkup that we as women go and have. And all of my results came back as being healthy, great. My blood tests, my mammograms, my physical exam, my pap smear, everything was perfect. I was the poster child for great health. And all of a sudden, I started to have these recurrent nightmares. And in these nightmares, I would be having a regular dream, Wendy, just like you and I, you know, your normal dream at night, and all of a sudden, the dream would freeze. And when the dream froze, it was like a window on your computer freezing. And there'd be a pop-up window that would then pop up, and I could see the window moving, just like on your computer. And that window would turn into a door, and through that door would walk a monk. And I have no idea why a monk, but a monk would walk through and say, come with me, I have something to tell you. And he would lead me through that window that had become the door into the realm between realms. And again, this is a little bit about what your previous interview was with the woman who was trampled by the horses. It's not a realm of the living, and it's not a realm of the dead. It is a place where both sides can come and converse and get information and learn.
Yeah.
And when I walked through this doorway, this divine doorway into the room between realms, there were other monks in there. And they took my hand and they put it on my breast. And they said, do you feel that? And I said, yes. And these monks looked just like Franciscan monks, you know, with the big brown robe and the knotted rope belt and the brown sandals. And they said, that's breast cancer that you're feeling. You go back to your doctor and get a second set of tests. So long story short, and all the details are in my first book, Surviving Cancerland. Mm-hmm. And there's a shorter version in the book that we're talking about today.
Right.
But I went back to my doctor and I said, I know something's wrong. And almost like your previous interview again, he was like, no, there's nothing wrong with you. I kept saying, well, I think I might have cancer. And he said, look, you're too young for cancer. Doesn't run in your family. All of your tests are healthy. Go home. So long story short, Wendy, it took me 3 months to finally convince this doctor with constant recurring nightmares with the monks to do exploratory surgery. When the monks handed me a feather, when I started crying in my dream saying, I know why you're here. My doctor won't listen to me. He won't give me any other tests. Help me if you want me to live. They handed me a feather and said, use this like a sword as though so that you can cut through their arguments and get exploratory surgery. And I was in stage 2, aggressive breast cancer with it in a lymph node.
Wow. Okay. And that was, well, you were 43?
Yes.
And I like the way you described that.
It started, actually. It actually started when I was 42. It took me that long to get to
it's like, okay, doctors are challenging sometimes. Well, the part about that feather, though, I think is so extraordinary because it gave you some kind of an indication, okay, here's your armor. And it didn't have to be, you know, it was just so tiny that you would think there was no power in that. But the power was in your belief that these guys were giving you ammunition that you had to fight with and fight through to get the outcome. And the doctor, what was after that, when the reaction of, yeah, that was cancer?
Well, you know, it was funny because when I finally, the last time I went into his office, armed with my feather,
yes,
my feather sword, which basically looked like a little feather you'd see that fell out of your pillow and was lying on the floor, it's a pretty little thing.
Yeah.
And my doctor said, you know, and I told him, I said, I need exploratory surgery. I know something's wrong. And he looked like I'd set myself on fire. And I imagined that feather between my fingers as a sword. And it was like somebody glimmered him, you know, like those vampire movies. And I said, I need exploratory surgery. And he simply walked out into his office, made the appointment for 2 days after New Year's, and came back in and said, okay. And I said, well, who's going to do the surgery? And he said, well, I am. And I said, well, shouldn't we have an oncologist present? And again, he said, you're too young for cancer. You don't have cancer. If there's anything there at all, which I don't think there is, it's going to be a fibrotic tumor. So when he did open me up in exploratory surgery and saw this little tumor, cut it out, and he said, we got it all. And I woke myself up out of anesthesia and said, what was it?
Yes.
And he just about fell over. It turned out that when I was recovering and he walked into the recovery room, he said, pathology didn't like what they saw when they cut the tumor open. And I said, so is it cancer? And he said, yes. Now I have to refer you to a specialist. So that was the specialist I was requesting.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's funny. Doctors want to do what doctors want to do. And there comes a point where you can't pound on them anymore because they won't do anything and you can't go do your own surgery on yourself.
Right. And let's get into that in the next break, because Bernie Siegel is the one, and he's the author of Love, Medicine, and Miracles. I've interviewed him a couple of times. He's the one who does the foreword for the book. And this isn't to bash doctors. Absolutely not. This is just a different way of acknowledging that sometimes the patient does have insight and accurate information and how to get to the heart of that and bring it forward and how to respect more of the natural knowing and healing ability that we all have within us. So we're going to get back into that in the next break of what happened with the other doctors that you've gone to and the one you're currently working with a book, Dreams That Can Save Your Life. Early warning signs of cancer and other diseases next. Wendy's Coffeehouse, KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Have you ever had a dream that was so real? So real, it was more real than the waking moment. And so insightful that you felt compelled to follow through, no matter what the external plane was showing you and what anybody outside said. You had to fight for that reality, that insight that came with the dream, and follow that path. This book that we're talking about, Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases, is full of those stories. So you aren't alone. And maybe next time when that little insight comes to you, you'll have more power and more belief and more integrity in your own knowing, that sense of, there's a reason for this. And that's what I think the point of the book is, too. There's a reason that we have these bits of information. It isn't so we can check out more quickly. It's so that we can follow through and see, whoa, there's a few miracles along this path I hadn't looked at. And that, I think, is what you discovered. Not only once, you've had three bouts with cancer?
I have. And each time, you know, we're all born with guardian angels and spirit guides. We're their job. And when we're in crisis, they come through.
And yours looked like monks that first time around. I thought that was an attention getter. It's like, okay, I'm not going to argue.
Exactly. And I've had the monks since then. I mean, they're just a part of my life, and they work really well. So
yeah. Well, okay. So with that, you're working with Dr. Burke and Larry Burke, and there's a lot more to go on with this dream stuff. So how did you get connected with the study?
Well, I had written my first book, Surviving Cancerland, Intuitive Aspects of Healing, and Dr. Larry Burke is a radiologist at Duke University Medical, and he was getting interesting conversations with women who were coming in for their radiation treatment, and they were telling him that they knew that they had had the cancer before it ever showed up on any tests, and usually they had to fight to get different tests for it to show up. Mm-hmm. So he started to do a research project, and it was the Breast Cancer Dream Research Project. And he was collecting stories from women who had had breast cancer dreams that diagnosed their illness before they went and had pathology reports. So in a way, it's a double-blind study where a woman had a dream that she had breast cancer, and then she goes to her doctor, and like me, often had to fight for those tests. And then the pathology reports validated the dreams, showing it was true. So the medical community now all of a sudden could not argue it, because their own tests were used to prove that the dreams really did work and really did come true and save these lives. So he was trying to find more women to put into his group. He needed 20 women. And when he went online, he found my book, and then we were introduced by a mutual friend. We got together. We started to do talks for the IASD, the International Association for the Study of Dreams, which is a huge organization, where we collected more information from more women and men, also who had dreams, maybe prostate cancer, lung cancer, amazing amount of people. And those 40 stories ended up in our book. But Dr. Larry Burke started his research with 20 women, which are the backbone of the book. And we all had similar dreams, in that the dreams came first. They came in different ways. We all have different guides. But then we had to go and really, really, Wendy, self-advocate, because 9 times out of 10, the doctors refused to listen. Like me, there was one woman who sat in the chair in the waiting room and said, "I am going to tie myself into this chair until I see you again today, because I know something's wrong."
Yeah.
So finally, just to get rid of her, because she was such a pain in the butt, we did the second set of tests, and boom, there it was. Mm-hmm. And that happens throughout the book.
That's what I find so compelling, is that these are people who absolutely, without a doubt, really went to the nth degree to get the doctor to at least do one more x-ray, one more test, one more look, because they were determined that they had information and they couldn't get it acknowledged.
Yes, That is the turning point right there, where they refused to take no for an answer. They refused to be dismissed. And the only woman out of the 20 of us who did, whose doctor said, look, you're a doctor, I'm a doctor, you know you don't have this, go home. She did, and when she came back 6 months later for a follow-up testing, it was throughout her whole body, and she died. She was the only woman out of the research team who did die.
And that's the problem there. You heard that, the higher authority, doctor. I'm a doctor, mm-hmm. You're a doctor, we know better. The linear thought there, that linear element that says we can't acknowledge that the intuition might have something to tell us. And that was, one of the crux, the issues that really I think we need to be more aware of that confine us and keep us, they prevent us from trying to explore what we get in these unconscious states. And I think you're in the book, you go through and you bring through, you guys are this is wonderful because it brings out the context of some of the dreams that sometimes sound really convoluted. There's one about insects and the woman, I know there's a spider in the room, and her husband says, yeah, I don't see it. Well, I know it's here. And well, okay, well, the spider in the room happens to be the problem.
It's, yes.
And that's an illness. Yeah, yeah. And so some of these things, there's some tremendous stories. I think people can look at some of the things that look kind of abstract, and yet they have incredible, incredible relevance. And you point that out. You also point out with a dream how you would interpret them.
Mm-hmm, I do. And many times, you know, the women or the people throughout the book, they interpreted their own dreams because we speak to ourselves in a dream language that we were born with. We were born with that language. And so universal symbolism is in there, and you will probably speak with many psychologists, psychiatrists, dream therapists, dream experts who say there is no universal symbolism. But again, if you just use logical reasoning, the universal symbolism for the sun is a big round circle with rays coming off of it. You can see them on caves where cavemen lived. Mm-hmm. So there is universal symbolism, and that's in our dreams, and that's what speaks to us. And when it keeps happening over and over and over in the dreams called recurrent nightmares, it's a message that will not be ignored. And if you ignore it, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, the recurrent is a, okay, you didn't get it the first time, let's try second time around, third time, fourth time. Boy, are you slow.
Mm-hmm, yes. And then there's the clarifying dream, which I really love. And in one of the stories in the book, the woman had been having dreams that she had breast cancer, and she wasn't getting it. She just wasn't getting it. And so she finally said the night before she went to sleep, she set her intention, explain these previous dreams to me because they were just too bizarre. Talk to me in a language I understand. And so in the dream, she's taken to an ancient graveyard in Ireland, and she's shown a grave with a headstone, and there are daisies all over the grave, that gravesite, beautiful daisies, and a finger points to him and says, if you don't go in for another round of tests, you're the one that's going to be underneath the ground pushing up those daisies. And it's like, okay, I got it. And she went back to her doctor, and she self-advocated on a level that was profound. And it turned out she did have cancer, and she was able to catch it in time. And if it hadn't been for that clarifying dream, she might not have gotten it.
Okay, hang on. This is from Larry Burke's Let Magic Happen book, and it's Green Beans and the Rabbi. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. I just like the combo. So give anybody who's listening a chance to think this over. Green Beans and the Rabbi, the connection. And you have dreams yourself. If you're listening, you may have already had some that connected a few dots for you. This is a way of saying pay more attention to those and pay more attention to the people who share their dreams with you, because there might be a clue in there you can help them sort out just by your own seemingly innocuous response or reply. There was another part in here with Hot Lips Houlihan. Sometimes the dream characters are larger than life. That's to get your attention. Mm-hmm. We're going to come back with more from the book Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases. You're listening to Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. The air raised by there was no sound. Wendy's Coffee House. You can check out the blog site, wendyscoffeehouse.com. That'll pull it up. But a lot of a ton of information out there right now on consciousness and how our reality shifts with our beliefs and thinking makes a difference. But dream work isn't always about attaching a specific universal theme to it. Sometimes the information is completely and totally individual. It's up to you to connect the dots and do the math and not worry about what somebody else says about it, but say, okay, this is how I interpret this and this is my message. And even your partner can say, well, what if this? What if that? And you, oh, yeah, maybe that works. Don't go to the nearest book. Go to your nearest friend. Go to the people who know you. Go to the people who are basically your influencers, like that Hot Lips dream that I mentioned earlier. The woman, she was apparently saw that Dr. Winchester and head nurse Major Hot Lips Houlihan were examining her mouth, and they said, you have a tumor in your tongue that needs to come out immediately. Okay, that's like a real intense message, and these are two intense characters that went, yeah, do you get it? I love that. How can you miss the point?
Yes, exactly. And it just, that you're so right on with that, Wendy, because we do have all of our own answers. We can figure out what our dreams are saying. We can interpret them. You don't have to be an expert. You just have to be you.
And part of that with this particular story that Dr. Burke said that a lot of times when this breast cancer Dreams Project information came through, the white-coated physicians were one of the most common messengers. So when the doctors entered the scene, they were wearing a white coat and saying, here's their message, go with it.
That's so true, and it's funny because we're talking about Hot Lips Houlihan, but I know that Alan Alda, who was also one of the actors in MASH with Hot Lips Houlihan, just put out to the world that he had a dream that diagnosed his illness before he ever had any tests on it. And it was so early that it took a lot of testing to find it, but he's able to control that illness now. And it was because of his dreams that it was found.
And see, that part of it is a key message that when you get information, first try and rule it out. A lot of times when these folks had the initial message, you have cancer, they went for the first test and it said, you're fine. It's okay, well, I tried to rule it out, but there's something there. You have to really be in some way, shape, or form confident in your own ability to say, well, maybe it was incomplete. Maybe I need a second opinion, okay? I like this. The other part here, I'm jumping forward because I had one that I like, the silver spaceship aliens that saved her life.
I love that one.
Well, see, it's like, okay, fine. My friends, I'm not sure that I would trust them to tell me something. They might have an agenda, and I might misinterpret it. But the silver saucer, they don't really have anything against, they're kind of a neutral, like Switzerland.
True.
So they show up, and they say, and they land, and they approach the woman, and they say, what you need is called interferon. And then they handed her some, and she's like, what the heck is that? What the heck? And she knew exactly what that meant.
Yes, she didn't. And it's a great story because she, at that time, was, I think, 28 or 29. She was a new mother. She only had a little two-year-old, single mother. And she had, I believe it was uterine cancer that had already spread to her ovaries. It was really bad, really, really bad. She was
5% chance. 5% chance of surviving.
Yeah. And then she has this dream that says, go get interferon. The doctors had sent her home to get her house in order, a.k.a. you're going to die. Mm-hmm. Figure out who's going to take care of your child. And she goes back to the doctor and says, I had this dream, and they said to try interferon. And he was shocked, and he said, that's a new drug that's only just now being experimented with. I'll get you some. And that was 20 years ago.
God, see, I got goosebumps. This is why if just one person hears your story, hears these messages, and acts on their dream, it's a slam dunk. That's all it takes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of what the messages are, that they're beginning to do more research and get more validation for the fact that people can bring the information they need to help with their healing program. And that's what you guys have gathered in this book.
Well, you know, in a way, Wendy, we, as a medical, the medical community has advanced so far that they have forgotten the most important part of human nature, which is our psyche. And if you look back 4,000 years ago with ancient Egypt and Imhotep, who was the high priest for the sun god Ra, they used to have Asclepian dream temples where if you were sick, you went and you slept next to one of the priests and you dreamed about what was wrong with you, and then they would give you suggestions on your own treatment, and it worked. But now what we're doing is we're only depending on science, and science can help us, but science is not always the answer.
Well, and part of that, though, is that this is the learning curve. There's still a lot to be gathered and a lot to be redirected and, I don't know, in some way reconciled between that split of the logical and the intuitive mind, the abilities, that conscious connection where everything is connected. I like some of the things the doctors, that they share themselves. There's one in here about a near-death experience, a four-year-old who choked on a toy. And do you remember that? You know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah, that was Dr. Bernie Siegel, actually, who was the four-year-old.
Yeah. Yes. And I love him. I think he's great. I love miracles. That I always, everything I put with him is miracle. But, okay, so with the toy, he's choking. And he was somehow out of his body and realizing that as that happened, he wasn't really struggling. He was above the bed watching the body, and he was great. He was thrilled. And then all of a sudden he went back to his body. He was like really annoyed.
Yes. And that happens a lot. I've read about that in books. It's like so much better there.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I can tell you, I've had an out-of-body experience, several, and they're great. But they're also temporary, at least at this point they have been. Since I'm still breathing.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah, since I'm still breathing. But there's that shift of when you do experience that, you realize there's more to life than just this physical corporeal form. And you start getting curious about what else is out there and what other abilities we have with us that we have yet to uncover. The stories, is there a favorite from these, of the collection that you have with the dream study?
I think that the spaceship is one of my all-time favorites. That was just an absolutely amazing story. All of the stories are very special. And, you know, one of the things that I really, really liked was Deadly Sweet Dreams of Type 2 Diabetes. Not every story in the book is cancer, but here she kept having recurrent, and that's the important word, recurrent dreams of sweets in her cabinets, sweets everywhere she went, people bringing her sweets, and yet her body in the dream would run away and try to hide.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, uh-oh.
Yeah, and then she found out that she did have type 2 diabetes, and so her dream guided her to figure out what was wrong with her because she wasn't feeling well, and once she went to the doctor and figured it out and changed her diet, she was well. Now imagine if she hadn't had those dreams for that early diagnosis and that type 2 diabetes became a real problem and affected her organs. So that's where the idea of your dreams coming in for early diagnosis is so very important. And when we mix our dreams with modern day medicine, we come out with a medicine and a healing that's bigger than the sum of its individual parts.
Okay, we're going back to the diet now. The green beans and the rabbi, because I glossed over that. All right, that, for real, we're coming back with that. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Dreams can give you all sorts of information. Some of it's just about your own personal relationships, and some of it's about healing, medical issues. But part of it is we oftentimes discount if they don't make sense, if they're too abstract, if they're too, in some way, shape, or form, dense with information, then we say, that wasn't it. It was a coincidence. It had nothing to do with me. But right now, this book gives you ammo. If you're having a precognitive dream, if you're having an associative dream, some kind of dream, then you can go through and maybe interpret what you are trying to tell yourself. The raw food dream diet. This is where the green beans and the rabbi come into play. Okay, Kat, what was this about? What was this about with the veggies?
So, well, you know, I had monks. She's got a rabbi. only thing missing is, you know, I don't know, the nuns. Maybe somebody will come in for the second book with nuns. But, you know, she'd had a lumpectomy after her first diagnostic precognitive dream. And what that means is, it's a mouthful, I know, but it's diagnostic in that the dream is telling you something is wrong. It's precognitive because it's telling you it's wrong in the future. Like, you might not be able to get it, like, right now, but if you do a second set of testing, it will be found. So she had wanted to pursue this, and she found Dr. Larry Burke's book, Let Magic Happen. And then she has these dreams about different vegetables every single night. So it's a recurrent dream. And although the vegetables are changing, the subject matter is the same. And these green beans are hanging on a clothesline, and they're gently blowing in the breeze. And then she goes into a teaching session with a rabbi instead of a monk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and each person that walked in gave them a prayer book in her dream. But when she came in, he handed her a large bowl of fresh vegetables. And so what it was basically saying is, you don't need to pray. You need to change your diet.
Yeah,
prayers alone aren't going to work, but you have to change the way you're eating. And so she ended up taking a short course of tamoxifen, and she did research on her vegetarian diet, and she lived to write this book with us.
And see, that's like, okay, every person has their own unique message. And for her, the rabbi was the influence, the authority in charge that gave her permission to take that seriously. And I think with a lot of this, though, you have several stories throughout this book. You're going to, this is now book number one. You're looking for book number two and case studies.
We are. Larry's already collected a few stories. We actually have a few stories ready to go for book two, because when we signed the contract for book one with Inner Tradition, Simon & Schuster, they said, we see this as a series. So we're trying to work on book two as well, while we are promoting book one, so that they can come out as close together as possible to keep it more of a 1-2 punch, because the more doctors and the more people we reach with this research, the better the chances are that when you go into your doctor after you've had a recurrent precognitive dream that diagnoses an illness, the doctor will look at you, and instead of saying, there's nothing wrong with you, go home, he'll look at you and say, tell me your dream. Mm-hmm. That's our goal.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I think that's fantastic. It's nice to see the progress coming with that. So to prepare for that, developing your own dream skills, this is part four in this book. So if somebody's, you know, hasn't had yet an opportunity to participate down the road, this might be a little inspiration, you know, for the next phase of whoever's listening of your life. If you can tune into this and start doing a little bit of homework, you may pick up a few clues on preventing or working with whatever challenges come your way. To do that, there's some of the things you mentioned, like if you wake up and you've had a dream, going back into that dream state and recreating mm-hmm. that to see, maybe pull out a little mm-hmm. bit more information. Does that make sense? Am I saying it right?
Yes, I've done that many times. I've been awakened, actually, by my monks, you know, wake up. Write that down right now, and then slid back into the dream after I wrote it down to gather more information. And when they're working from the other side to save your life here on the earth plane, it's because you have a purpose, and you do have a purpose. Even if your parents told you you happened accidentally in the back seat of that old Ford, you're here on purpose. And if you get sick because you are in the earth plane where that happened, and you haven't been able to fulfill your purpose, they will come in and help you stay alive to do so, because that's why you're here. So if you've had a dream like that and you would like to share it with me, please send it to me in an email to katkan, katkan, at comcast.net, and put dream in the subject line.
And one of the favorite things I like about the book, if I knew then what I know now, words of wisdom and encouragement. I like this segment, and there's, you know, just basically support and inspiration for anybody who is in some way conflicted about, well, should I believe? Is this real? Can I make it work for me? A lot of times knowing something is different than actually being able to practice it, and especially if it's difficult to remember dreams. This is another thing that says, why not? Why not try? You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. This, I think, is a very powerful time where people are learning that these things are relevant. The site that Larry has, it's Let Magic Happen, and then the other one for the dreams. The dream, was it Dream Clouds? Yeah, Dreams Cloud.
Dream Clouds. And on Facebook, we have a page for this book, Dreams That Can Save Your Life, on Facebook. You can go there, and you can put your dreams in there if you want also, but I'd rather have you send them to me in an email, because sometimes publishers don't want anybody else to see them until they release them in their book. You know, they're kind of funny about
that. It's proprietary information. You know, yes, yes.
Okay. Yes, yes. But, Wendy, you know, one of the things that I point out, I always try to point out with this book is, yes, the dreams are really nightmares. They are very, very scary when the dreamer is having them. But they all have a happy ending, and they all have a great learning message. So, you know, even though the book may be a little scary when you're first reading it, especially if you're going through treatment, hang in there, because what you're going to learn from it could save your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because even if you haven't connected now, they're like when she went back into it and they said, you need the specific drug that would work. She was already into it, 5% chance of living. And then they said, oh, by the way, do this. And that's where the power is in all these. Kat, thank you. Again, Kathleen O'Keefe Canavos, the book Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases. I've had early warning signs that I was going to go through a difficult phase in my life and the things that would be changing, that the work would change. I've had all these kinds of dreams, and one that was similar with the alien dream where they told me there was a specific type and they showed me the little tube that this was a medicine that you put it on your skin and you make it, it would heal it instantly. And then 10 years later, I was given that particular tube and it would you know, immediately heal the surface of the skin. And I knew that wasn't what I needed. I had to actually keep that wound open to let the toxins that were in my system from the brown recluse spider bite out, or it would cause more damage. And that was so incredible, because I thought at the time, oh, good, this will be wonderful. I'll heal instantly. It was like, no, you're still going to heal the hard way. Yeah. Okay, so much for that. Thank you, Kat. Thank you so much for what you're doing. And if you want to connect with Kat and give her your dreams and your information, please do so. I'll put some links on the Coffee House blog site, too. Until then, Kat, you're moving. Happy move. Happy trails. Happy new book.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on. This has been wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for all the work you're doing. It hasn't had that cancer challenge. Was not in vain. It was just an incredible way of learning new information and getting it out to people who really, really, really need it. Thank you for listening. You can check out the website, dreamscloud.com, or you can check out Kat at her website as well, or the Simon & Schuster, they've got the book and you can read a preview. There's so much information out there, but this right now is the right place, right time to do your healing. And if you need any incentive for that, remember, it only has to be right one time. Okay? Just one time. Thanks for listening. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Kat.
Thank you.